last two songs we sang, it makes me feel like dancing. So a couple of weeks ago, you all remember I got the Sunday morning call from Pastor when he threw out his back, and I had to prepare a message to preach within 2 hours. This time it was good. I got the call Thursday night, and after his grandma passed away on Thursday and he knew he had to go over this weekend, he called me after work on Thursday. Now, this time the conversation was different. Last time when he told me, I have to confess, I wasn't too thrilled about it. This time it was different because I am going through pastor's class on preaching with a couple of the men in the church. And he has assigned each of us a scripture that we are going to have to preach in June. So when he called me and he was telling me, I wasn't bothered, I wasn't worried. My whole mind was, okay, that message is about 90% complete. So why don't I preach that message today? Prepare something else for the date he has assigned me in June. No harm. So I'm not sure if he talked about it, but I'm sure he may have said in his mind, wow, he received it very well. It was because I had something in mind. So after that, I told Maud, and she said, oh, why don't you preach the message you've already prepared? I said, yeah, I'm going to do that. Now, you know, God doesn't always work like that. I go to sleep Thursday. I wake up Friday morning, and I feel within my gut that I should leave that message alone. That message is for a day assigned by pastor, and it has to be preached on the day assigned by pastor. I went through my Friday thinking I still have to prepare a message for today. Unfortunately for me, I had an event that I had to go to, and the event ended at 12 midnight on Friday. So there came Saturday. I had one day to prepare and preach today. But thanks be to God that he always has a word for his people. And he has a word for us today. The message that God has for us today is offering a sacrifice of praise. Offering a sacrifice of praise. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for today, O God. We give you glory and we bless your name, O God. We thank you that you are God. We praise you and we worship you because you are God. Indeed, there is none like you, O God. There is none before you. There is none beside you. There is none behind you. You alone are God. And today, we thank you and we praise your name, O God. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your blessings, O God. We thank you. We thank you for your word for us today. My prayer today is that you prepare the hearts of your people to receive your word, O God. Make me only an instrument for your use, O God. And use the words that I speak, O God. Holy Spirit, use it to speak to your people, O God, to change hearts, O God. Your word says, O God, that your word does not go and return void, but it goes to accomplish the purpose for which you sent it, O God. Let it be, O God, according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The past few years have been pretty tough with the economy going down. Many people lost their jobs. Some who didn't lose their jobs had pay cuts. The forecast was pretty, gloomy. Unfortunately, this doesn't happen to unbelievers alone. It does happen to believers as well. Now, sometimes what this could do is that it dampens our spirits. It takes away the smile, the joy, and the attitude of praise towards God. Then there are those of us who were fortunate and we didn't lose our job. You know, you may have even gotten a better job during the down economy. You may have gotten promotion during the down economy. Maybe you are not affected much. But you may still have gone through a lot of other difficult times. I have lost two of my brothers in the last 2 years. I lost a brother only a few weeks ago, and he was only 44 years old. We've all gone through our share of difficult times. What that sometimes does is it kind of dampens your spirit, and that attitude, you know, and the joy to praise God gets a little limited. You know, in our church today, for the past few years, many have gone through some pretty difficult times. We've seen many sicknesses among members and their families. There's been a lot of surgeries, deaths of family members, accidents to family members. You know, some of us have gone to the hospital a lot. We have kind of been hit with a lot going on in our church. Unfortunately, that could make us feel like not praising God. That could make us feel down all the time. It takes away that gladness, that thing that makes you want to dance and praise God. Takes that away. It makes you feel like not praising God. And the emphasis is on the feel. It is pretty easy to praise God when things are looking up. You know, after you've gotten your promotion, you know, you feel like praising God. You know, in the church of my brother, they also feel like jumping and I feel like shouting, you know, to praise God. Unfortunately, praising God is not about how we feel. Praising God is not feeling, it's something we do. Whether you feel down or you feel up, whether things are looking up or looking down, you got to praise God. It's not about how you feel. In the kids' sermon, we learned that the Bible said that in all things, give thanks. In all things, give thanks. The Bible also said that you should bring into the house of God a sacrifice of praise and a sacrifice of thanksgiving. A sacrifice of praise because sometimes it takes all you got to praise God. Sometimes it takes your whole being, you know, it has to come from your gut. Because when you look at what you're going through, when you look at your particular situation, when you look at your circumstance, you don't feel like it. That's where you need to offer God a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. It comes from the gut. Sometimes it takes all you got to praise God after you've lost your job. It takes all you got to praise God when the promotion you were looking for, you didn't get it. Or the new job you prayed for so long, you still didn't get it. It takes all you got to praise God when you've been diagnosed of an illness. It takes all you got to praise God when you just got a negative health report. It takes all you got to praise and worship God. And to be thankful to God in circumstances like that. So you offer unto God a sacrifice of praise. You know, the Bible says that his ways are not our ways. And sometimes you got to thank God for that. His ways are not our ways. Sometimes we can't always understand God or why he allows certain things to happen to his kids. Now, have you really thought about the story of Job so well? God called him a righteous man, a perfect man. And so God allowed him to go through what he went through. Have you really thought about what Job went through? He lost everything. And when we say everything, this was everything. His five kids died. That is what losing everything. God allowed Job to go through that. And sometimes we feel as if we are going through what Job went through. Sometimes we feel as if there's nothing that is left for us to praise God with. Now today, God wants to remind us of three things that will help us offer unto him a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. The first point is this: we offer unto God a sacrifice of praise when we focus on all the things he has done for us in the past. We focus on all the things he has done for us in the past. You forget about what you're going through today and you just think about all that he's done for you in the past. I like Psalm 103 so well, what Frank read. And verse 1 and 2 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits." You know, forget not what God has done for you. Forget not his benefits. He said, do not forget. He forgives all your sin. He has healed you many times in the past. He redeemed your life from the pit and granted you salvation. He has bestowed on you his love and compassion. He said he satisfies our desires with good things. He has provided for you. He says he has blessed you with his peace, his faith, and his hope. Now, I'm not sure if you heard it about a week or two ago. There was a scientific research that came out, and research says that they have studied many people, and their conclusion is that those who have a true faith and believe in God are less likely to suffer from depression or are more able to recover from depression than those who do not. That is the blessing of God, to be able to cope with the sort of things that we go through and still smile. That is what the Bible is saying. Do not forget the hope that he has put into us, that puts the smile in our face even when we don't feel like it. We offer praises to God because he has done so much for us in the past, despite our current situation. Now, how did David do this? You know, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, we see the ark of the Lord was being brought to Jerusalem. And David was very happy about it. He was leading the procession. And they were singing and dancing and shouting joy before the Lord. And David was so happy, dancing, singing, so much so that the Bible said that his linen cloth came off. But he did not care. He was still dancing before the Lord. And his wife, Michal, was looking at him from up the window. And when he saw him dancing without his clothes on, the Bible said that she despised him. And when David went in, she called him a fool for behaving like that in public. Now, do you know what David said? David said, I do not care. I was praising my God. I was worshiping my God. So I do not care that I behave like a fool because I remember how far the Lord has brought me. David said, I remember where God took me from. I was a shepherd boy. David said, I was not a descendant of Saul, but I became the king of Israel after Saul. He said, I remember how far God has brought me. So I do not care that I look like a fool in the presence of God. David was not ashamed. So far as he knew, he was dancing and rejoicing in the presence of God. Sometimes I feel like we need to also sing and praise God as if we are in the shower and nobody's looking. You know, you need to feel free and just worship as if there's no one watching. This is my personal thoughts. Sometimes I feel like in our church we are two Southern Baptists. We have to praise God in the coolest of ways, you know. Woe be us that we sing and dance. Woe be us that we lift up our hands in praise of God. You know, woe be us that we bow before God. No, we don't do that here. I know it's not the dancing and the singing and the jumping that's important. And that it is the heart. But we cannot also deny that sometimes, you know, when you don't feel like it, the posture helps. Sometimes just kneeling before God and lifting up your hands helps you praise God. It tells your body that although I do not want to do this, I got to do this. Sometimes lifting up your hands before God helps you praise God. Sometimes the dancing and shaking your body helps you praise God. The more important point is that sometimes we have to be careful not to be like Michal. We look down on those who sing and dance and shout before God. Sometimes we criticize those who look too spiritual to us because they are singing and they are dancing before God. We have to be careful. The Bible said that Michal had no child because of that comment that she made. We have to be careful. We should allow people to feel free to dance, to sing, to rejoice, to shout before God, to tell their body to do it. Freely praise God for all that He's done for you, even if it takes all you got. You offer a sacrifice of praise to God, remembering all that He's done for you, how far He has brought you. The second point is that we praise God because He is worthy for our praise. We praise God because He is worthy for our praise. Even if you cannot think of a single thing that God has done for you, or you can sit here and say that God has done absolutely nothing for you. I'm not sure if there's anyone who could say that, but let's say you can, and you say that God has done nothing for you. Or maybe you say in sports, you know, what have you done for me lately? You know, you know. So you think about it and you don't feel like, you know, God hasn't done much for me lately. You still got to praise God because He is worthy of our praise. Now, when we say God is worthy for our praise, I think sometimes we find it difficult to understand and to comprehend it. So I have an illustration here just to walk you through, and I'm hoping that by the time I'm done going through this, you come to really understand what is meant by praising and worshiping God because He is worthy. The illustration goes like this. It's a story. Imagine you committed many crimes and got caught. Imagine you know what you did was wrong, since you had a tremendous amount of guilt. There is no denying what you did was wrong. Then imagine yourself in court before a judge. Unfortunately, the prosecutor is really good at what he does. Actually, his nickname is the accuser of the believers. He comes and he lists for the judge all that you did wrong. Then imagine the judge looks into the laws of the land, and the punishment prescribed for your crimes is death. So then imagine after the judge has passed down the judgment of death on you, he goes on and he says, and I quote, "But instead of punishing you for your crimes, I have a son. In fact, he is my only son. And I will let him take your place of punishment, and he will die instead of you. He will die in your place." Now, let's assume that if this happened in real life, how thankful would you be to the judge? Would you say you owe the judge your life? After the judge has done this for you, what favor would he ask of you that you will not do? Would you tell your kids, your friends, your family? Would you just go to work and broadcast it everywhere about what the judge just did for you? Would you say that the judge is worthy of your praise? And why is that? Is it because he earned it? Is it because he deserves it? Now the illustration goes on and it says, imagine you learn one day after the judge has done this for you that actually the judge brought to life your parents, your great-grandparents, and although you do not remember it, he brought you to life as well. So you realize that you won't even exist without this same judge who was so good to you. Then also you imagine that this same judge gave you everything you know and have. The house you live in, the clothes you wear, the food you eat, the town you live in, even the world you live in came from this same judge. Would you then say the judge deserves your praise? That's what we mean when we say that God deserves our praise. He has earned it. He deserves it by virtue of you being created, by virtue of you having life, by virtue of you being forgiven of your sins. God just deserves our praise. He is worthy of our praise and our worship because he is God. You know, we often forget that this illustration is actually true and it actually did happen to you. And we focus on all our problems in our lives and the difficulties we are going through, and that makes it difficult for us to praise God. Now, Solomon said that he has observed many things in the world. And one of those is in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. Ecclesiastes 9:11. I'm going to read that for you. It says, "I have observed something else under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race, and the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. The wise sometimes go hungry, and the skillful are not necessarily wealthy, and those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. It is all decided by chance, by being in the right place at the right time." Now, you may or may not agree with everything he said, especially the last sentence. But Solomon had a very good point to make here. He was saying that in this world, things happen. Okay? In this world, things happen. Bad things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. Things just happens. Now, because of sin, the Bible says that we live in an awful world. Okay? The world is not fair. There's many things that happens in this world that is not fair because of the nature of sin. You know, you live in an awful world when the Bible actually says that the devil, you know, Satan is the prince of this world. You know, that tells you that you live in an awful world. We are to praise God because He is worthy. And it shouldn't depend on your lot in life. It shouldn't depend on how good you have it. It shouldn't depend on how bad you have it. It shouldn't depend on your circumstance. You just praise God because He is worthy. Because He is God. Because He is the judge in the illustration. Without Him, you won't even exist. So you praise God with all you got. You sing and shout and dance before Him because He is worthy. This is how I see it. You can ask yourself two questions. Are you alive? Yes, you praise God. It is that simple. You ask yourself a second question. Are you saved? Yes, you praise God. You actually have a double blessing. First, you are alive. The judge did that for you. And you are saved. He sent His Son to take your place. So you got life on earth and you got life eternal. You praise God for that. You praise God because He is worthy and it should not depend on your circumstance. Finally, I'd like us to look at the secret benefit of praise. There's something about praise that we usually don't think about. An aspect of praise that we sometimes forget. You know, praise is not something that sometimes you can humanly understand so well. This is how it actually should work. As you find yourself in those difficult situations, that's rather the time you praise God more. If you see things are tough, then you should know you need to praise God more. Now, why is that? Why do you have to praise God more when things are not going well, when things are tough, when, you know, sicknesses are coming and things seems pretty gloomy? You know you got to praise God even more. There's a secret here. The secret of praise is that it forces God's hand. Praises forces God's hand. Now, let me illustrate it for you. You all remember Joshua chapter 6. Here we find Joshua and the Israelites. They have crossed the Jordan. They've seen God, you know, divide the Jordan. They walk through. They are all full of, you know, they are pumped up. They've seen a big miracle. The first town they come across after crossing the Jordan was Jericho, and they are supposed to conquer Jericho. But they realize that Jericho is actually a very fortified city. It has these high walls, and there's no way to even go in to fight anybody. So then God tells them that this is what they do. They praise Him around the city. Every day for 7 days, all they are supposed to do is to just praise God and march around the city. And on the 7th day, through the praise, the hand of God smashed down the walls. Then you remember in Acts chapter 16, you know, we know Paul. Paul was a mighty man of God. Paul did a lot, you know, for the kingdom. But we also know that Paul went through a lot of troubles. In one of these troubles, we see Paul and Silas in prison. And then the Bible says that around 12 midnight, they start to praise God in hymns. And as they continue to praise God, the hand of God moved, and we see the prison gates tumbled. See, there's a secret there. The Bible said God inhabits the praises of his people. God inhabits the praises of his people. So praising God moves God on your side. Praising God moves God on your side. And as you move God on your side, you see the hand of God move in your favor. So when you see things are not going well, you thank God for your situation. You praise him. You worship him. Praising God when things are tough shows faith. Praising God when things are tough shows faith. You know what faith does? Faith moves the hand of God. Faith moves mountains. Faith makes things get better. You praise God when you don't feel like it. Praising God should have nothing to do with how you feel. You just do it. Sometimes it feels as if we feel a little bit restricted. You know, sometimes it feels as if our situation and our circumstances, you know, overcome our joy and our praise. So, you know, we just come to church and we, you know, we come to church dry and we leave dry. Okay? We just forget about why we are here. We are here, we come here to listen to God talk to us. We come here to praise God. We come here to worship God. We come here to lift up our hands and sing praises. We come here to praise his name. And sometimes you need to force yourself to do it. You need to get your body to do it. Remember, Jesus said one thing. He said that the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And sometimes that's how we feel, right? We feel like the spirit wants to praise God, but we don't really feel like it. But we need to focus on the important things. We need to remember all that he's done for us. We need to remember that we praise him because he is worthy. And we need to remember that when we praise God, things actually get better. To conclude, I'd like us to do something. I'd like you to please close your eyes. I'd like you to please close your eyes and just meditate on who God is. I'd like you to humbly bow your heart before God, then imagine yourself before his presence, with the Prince of Peace seated at his right hand and the angels surrounding him. Just take your spiritual eye there. Imagine the awesomeness of his presence, his greatness, his might, his bigness. Imagine his holiness. The Bible says that the heavens is his dwelling and the earth is his footstool. So imagine literally God seated in his sovereign throne and the earth is his footstool like a soccer ball. Then remember that he is the judge. He created you. He gave you life. He freed you from your punishment prescribed by the law and gave you eternal life. Then I want you to thank him Tell him he's worthy for your praise, no matter what you're going through. I know you may not have. Life might be difficult. You may be sick. You may have gone through a lot. You may have lost your loved ones. But you praise God anyway. Say a prayer of praise this morning. Thank God for your situation. Father God, we thank you so much for today, O God. We thank you, O God, for your word unto us, O God. That sometimes we let our feelings and all that we're going through dampen our spirit so much that we don't even want to praise you. We don't want to thank you. We forget about all the many things that you've done for us because of our troubles and our problems, O God. But praising you should have nothing to do with how we feel. We praise you because you've been good to us. We praise you because you've been a blessing unto us. We praise you because you've done so much for us, O God. We praise you because you've healed our diseases. We praise you because you've provided for us. We praise you because of the many benefits that we have received from you. We praise you because we remember where you brought us from and how far you have brought us. We praise you, O God, because you are worthy. If for no reason, because you are worthy. Father God, we thank you that indeed today you've taught us that actually praise move your hand, O God. There's many instances in scripture where we see that praise moved your hand to act, O God. Praise moves you on our side because you inhabit in the praises of your people, O God. The word says, O God, that the spirit is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, O God. Help us to sometimes just move our bodies and lift up our hands and bow before you and sing and dance and shout, O God, in glory and in praise to your name, O God. And help us to not judge those who do, O God. Father God, we thank you for your word. We pray that even as we live here, you help us to always have an attitude of thanksgiving and praise unto you, O God. To remember to thank you for the wins and the losses, O God. For the things that we see as good and the things that we see as bad, O God. We do not always understand you. So it's important for us to thank you for all that we go through, because we know that you have a greater purpose for why we go through what we go through, O God. We thank you this day. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.